This is a hearing on Wednesday, May 3rd, 2023. The time is 9:05 a.m. and we are in room 1150 of the Minnesota Senate Building. Members and to the public, we have one item on the agenda, and that's the confirmation of Charlie Zelli, who's been nominated by the governor to continue on as chair of the Metropolitan Council. In accordance with the rules of the Senate, the following members will be participating remotely in today's hearing: Senator Herr from St. Paul, Senator Port from Burnsville, Senator Carlson from St. Paul, Senator Morrison from St. Paul. Welcome to the committee, Chair Zelli. Please introduce yourself and proceed as you wish.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Senator, and Senators remotely. Good morning. I am Charlie Zelli, and this is a great opportunity to appear before you as you consider my confirmation as chair of the Metropolitan Council. I was first appointed in 2020 and then reappointed by Governor Walz in January of this year. I'll just kind of go through my personal background and then talk about Met Council and open to questions. First off, my family has a long history in Minnesota. My parents grew up in Minneapolis, and I think because they wanted to spread their wings and get away from their parents, they moved to the East Metro. So I am from the East Metro, and I had the wonderful opportunity after living away to meet a St. Paul woman. And now we live in Minneapolis and have raised our two kids in Minneapolis, who are now adult children. Living elsewhere, Charlotte and Nick. I just want to stress that my main passion in life, I think, has always been about cities, economic development, and the democratizing force of public spaces. My written thesis in college was on Frederick Law Olmsted and the humanizing effects of parks for cities in the turn of the century, the last century. And that has been kind of something that's trailed my entire life. In the 1980s, I was drawn to New York City to work in real estate finance, but specifically about structured finance for housing projects in center cities. And I learned a lot there, but I took a leave of absence to return to Minnesota just for a year because of my family's real estate and bus business was struggling, and I ended up leading a resurgence out of bankruptcy of the bus business. And when you struggle with something, you get to like it. And I learned all the things I care about, cities and connections, are actually more associated with transportation than anything else. So I developed Jefferson Lines with a strategy of connecting with rural transportation and rural transit. And it does that to this day in 15 heartland states. When I sat before this committee 10 years ago, I revealed a conflict of interest in my role as chair of the board of Jefferson Lines. I recused myself from any Jefferson business during my tenure at MnDOT. Since Jefferson is and it continues to be a subrecipient of federal funds for rural services, although I've been advised that that is not a conflict for my role at Met Council, I'm just mentioning it here in the interest of full transparency. I, in my roles prior to becoming chair of Met Council, I mentioned being commissioner of transportation. I learned a lot, tremendous experience. And I really believe I was able to leave behind some better management practices, some cultural shifts, especially toward equity. And I think I'm particularly proud of a number of initiatives, including the government-to-government tribal training that is now a much more enterprise, statewide, robust program pioneered while I was under my watch. I think my years of experience, both as a business person and working significantly with nonprofits in the metro area, mostly in the arts, but in transportation foundations as well, has really given me a great perspective on the civic life of this state, a state that I love very much, maybe in part because the abundant clean waters, parks, transportation services, housing, community development initiatives, all of which touch and are what Met Council is most engaged with. So at this time, with this job, I've been able to share a passion with 16 other council members, providing services and the growing demands of a metropolitan area. I bring to the council empathy, accountability, and a strong business sense with my relationships with the business community. I could go on, and I won't go on at length, what has happened over the past 3 years, certainly not just weathering, but addressing the challenges of the pandemic, the post-George Floyd murder issues associated with transit, with our outreach and planning, and our work that addresses community development and rebuilding. I am particularly interested in the federal funding and the opportunities working with this committee and others to advance sustainable funding for a transportation network, which is now more than just one line or two lines. It's a seriously interconnected system that is providing what is only an aspiration 10 years ago. There's work we're doing with other local governments, particularly on anti-displacement. With our Center for Urban Affairs at the University of Minnesota, we are doing, I think, some pioneering work with the Blue Line that has not been done in other areas of the country, and to really particularly address both the benefits and to mitigate the negative effects of building large transit ways through community. I'm proud of the fact that we've advanced a transit way advancement policy to address some of our lessons learned, both in building transit ways, but also understanding that if we are going to be prudent and responsive to communities, we need to be open to new practices and of ways, in very specific ways, for keeping our eyes open to what we could be doing better. I'm really proud of our strong relationship and connection with MnDOT, one I think we could advance even further, both leverage their expertise and provide actual insights that we have at Met Council. There's a number of high initiatives that I know are in their minds, and I've reported before this committee and others in this past year, safety and security being probably the number one issue. We're making great progress with our new police chief, Chief Morales. We've hired additional security. We have our 40, security and safety plan, which is having its quarterly report later this afternoon at the Met Council. I see us moving that needle, and with the help of some legislation, we'll be able to make even greater progress. I've been spending time with other transit agencies around the country, particularly at last week's APTA Mobility Conference hosted in Minneapolis, and I've learned a number of things. A, we're not alone, and two, sharing best practices is something both for safety and security and in other areas of operations we can always do better. Climate is an important initiative for the council, climate sustainability. We've adopted a 5-year internally focused climate action work plan, but also as the part of the governor's climate sub-cabinet, we're providing the tools and some of the research that will really help local communities advance their own climate plans. For instance, a greenhouse gas inventory and scenario planning tool gives local government a lot of the tools and the incentives to model impacts of land use and development decisions on greenhouse gas emissions. We know that our role as the comprehensive planning agency, we're coming to that 10-year cycle of putting together a new regional guide, that this is a really important year as we kind of advance and utilize some of the tools and the levers that can really help bring a lot of those projects to that are being beneficial for sustainability to actual fruition and not just be words on a page or a plan by itself. We're very engaged in water preservation. Not only do we manage wastewater, but we do quite a bit of research, and I'm really thrilled that what we've been able to do to advance best practice, efficiency, lower costs, and I'm proud that we've actually got an award from a regional administrator of the EPA a few weeks ago for some of the work that we were able to do in preserving and actually enhancing water quality in our region. We definitely subscribe to the Governor Walz's One Minnesota Strategic Plan. We have identified action steps around four areas: equity, housing affordability, transportation access, and climate and sustainability. So with that, I just reiterate that I really appreciate working with all of you. I appreciate the goals and the ideals that you brought to legislation, and particularly the ones that are under consideration now. And I am happy to stand for any questions or any comments you'd like to make to me.
Thank you, Chair Zelli. So I'll start with the first question, which is somewhat kind of sweeping and broad. You know my perspective on the Met Council. I view it as essentially a large local government, and I think the Met Council sometimes views itself in through that lens. It's kind of got a kind of a dual focus, if you will. On the one hand, it's a state agency in some respects. You're a member of the governor's cabinet. You know, it's a political subdivision, but in some ways, the way we regard the Met Council and our relationship as legislators to the Met Council is that of a state agency. But at the same time, I think legally, in some respects, it's a political subdivision. It's like a large county. And of course, it provides the kinds of planning around land use, coordination activities around housing systems, environmental systems, sewers, and of course the very, very direct and tangible services of sanitary sewers, some of the coordinating work around regional parks and transportation, mobility, transit, et cetera. And it is the only entity that provides kind of that umbrella, if you will, that unifying framework for the metropolitan area. And as such, is really the only entity outside of the trade associations like Association of Metropolitan Municipalities that has that formal legal posture that puts it in place to advocate in a unified way for what the region needs and needs to align itself with in terms of priorities that it seeks vis-a-vis the rest of the state, or even, you know, in terms of the internal conversation that's held regionally. How do you envision the Met Council positioning itself in the best way possible to advocate relative to the executive branch and the legislative branch for what the region needs to be successful economically, socially, so that as many people as possible can do well, thrive, and succeed, and also, frankly, because the metropolitan economy drives the economy of the rest of the state, so the state can succeed.
Mr. Chair, Senator, thank you for the question. It's one I think about almost on a daily basis. The Met Council, you know, nearly 50 years old, but it has over time evolved and it has taken on more responsibility, other divisions that have been merged into it. And I think, much like MnDOT, it's a collection of previous agencies, and the culture and the role kind of stays with those divisions. And how do they become part of an overall system takes time and intentional thought. I think Met Council at its heart is a planning agency, and it, although it's a creature created by the legislature, it is part of the administration. And I view my role as part of the cabinet and working with the Waltz administration to be, although not a state agency, we are part of the accountability with the governor. Means that our council members, although setting policy, are aligned with that administration and those and that accountability. All of us as council members are accountable to the governor. I think that that some of these larger strategic goals are ones that are part of our ongoing conversations about how do we use all the divisions to work together. Climate would be a good example where we need to be acting as one agency to think about how do we create both this, as you mentioned, the economic engine, this large inclusive economy. How does Met Council as an umbrella agency help to advance that ultimate goal? And I think it's a balancing act. We do not impose zoning or land use, and yet we provide regional guides and incentives, and I would call them levers, to ensure that they're aligned with some of these larger aspirations and that they actually do have a very practical effect in providing guidance for the 180 different cities that are part of our seven county jurisdiction. The work with not just research, but having, better planning guides and awareness allows us through providing some necessary infrastructure like water, wastewater connections is a perfect example, or transit access is a way to ensure that we have the kind of density, the kind of forward-thinking planning goals in each one of those comprehensive plans. So I think that I have found that if to the extent we can be more articulate and clear about what these goals are, and that they're not imposing, but incenting and guiding that growth in an efficient, prudent, sustainable way makes the most sense. The fact that we as an umbrella organization are not well known, I mean, it's honestly something I think we need to be communicating more as a whole of what Met Council does, as opposed to this collection of wastewater transit. We're working with other partners like Greater MSP, others that have kind of adjacent kind of metro-wide kind of imperatives toward economic growth. And I think in this next term, we can do a better job of two things. One is advancing that communication for that holistic goals that you described, but also getting even better best practices of how we manage our systems and our work. Probably the most notable is to create this new division, which is truly under construction, a project management division for Met Transit. So Met Transit will have an operating division and a capital management, project management division. And the idea there is to build more resources, not less, more accountability, and to ensure that every project, whether it comes to procurement policies, practices toward, toward our project oversight, that we will work with outside consultants and other experts in the field to ensure that we're not just doing a project by project basis, but really creating, I would say, the prudence and the management expertise to do it well. So that's the two sides. A larger vision about what we can do, and two, the everyday management best practice. And I think that's where I can bring my business relationships and experience to advance those two important initiatives. And with the overall goal, I think, of kind of restoring or enhancing the trust in Met Council, which I think is lacking in areas where we really need trust. And we do that with transparency and better management practices.
Thanks. I have a hand up or a question from Senator Port, and then I assume Senator Jasinski will have questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, I'm bouncing between state governments, so I'm.
Why don't we go ahead with you and then Senator Port, if that's all right.
Thank you. Again, they were talking about a pension reform bill, so I want to get back to there. But again, so as you know, Commissioner Zelli, I come from a rural area, so not as too much involved with Met Council, but I have been up here for 7 years now and have had heard some frustrations from our caucus. I will tell you that. I know when I look at the Met Council, you think of wastewater and planning. That's kind of the major objective. I get some trails and things like that. But, you know, I think the biggest frustration I hear is the transportation issue. I know Southwest Light Rail has been, you know, very high on some discussions of the use of that money and misuse and overruns and non-transparency and lots of things. So that's the frustration I'm hearing from my caucus. This is nothing personal. This is more about the Met Council, what we've seen. So nothing against you, Chiarizelli, but as part of the organization, you know, I think as you being the lead of it, that brings those frustrations up. Again, the transparency issue, I think we've felt that it's not transparent and the receptive of the Met Council with the legislature that has not been the best I've seen. And so I think that's one of the big things I hear. You know, we've all talked about restructuring the Met Council. I think both sides of the aisle have talked about it. Senator Dibbles brought it up. I know the governor's talked about it. But yet we've sit here for 6 years and nothing has changed. So I think that's the big frustration. I know in another unrelated matter, you know, Senator Swedinski wants to do the automatic or wants to confirm commissioners within 90 days. And I think that's the frustrating part because this brings up that exact issue of why you wouldn't want to do it 90 days because you want to have that one thing that the Senate can have as far as confirming the commissioners is having that time to make you accountable, and giving that up after 90 days with something like the Met Council is our frustration, and that's why I voted against that. So again, this is nothing that you've done bad, but there's a lot of things that haven't been done good with the Met Council, and that's our frustration. You said it in your quote, you know, the trust is lacking, and that is what the biggest thing I hear coming from that. So I'll keep it, you know, again, short and to the point because I do have to leave, but I think that's the biggest frustration we hear. I think you hear it just as much as we do. I think Senator Dibble hears it, and that's just the frustration that we have. So, you know, to confirm the chair with all these issues going on, I just think it's not the way you should do that. I think we need to hold you accountable and to vote to confirm you with what's going on with the Met Council, both from, you know, the organization, Southwest Light Rail. A lot of issues are out there. So that's my point. Again, nothing negative against you, but it's just, it is what it is. And I think a lot of people up here at the Capitol in both sides of the aisle have frustration with what's going on within Met Council. So that's my point, and I hope you take it with nothing personal, but it is an issue with Met Council of frustration, and it's ongoing over the 6 years. It continues to be an issue, so we haven't seen any improvements. So with that, I'll leave it back to Mr. Chair, and thank you for allowing me to go first.
Thank you. Chair, I don't know if you wanted to respond, or we...
Well, Mr. Chair, thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator, thank you for coming by and for this confirmation hearing. And your comments are taken to heart. I don't disagree with any of it. I certainly hear some of those concerns. I do think that there's opportunities for improvement. And if I didn't, I don't think I'd be sitting here. And I'm happy to work with you before or after or whenever confirmation. Doesn't matter. I think there's work to be done, and that is in part what has driven me to go forward with a second term. I think there's a lot of work that that is unfinished, but I think learning through the Southwest process, it's complicated, and I think there's some lessons learned. There's things we could be doing differently, and probably the biggest issue is to really have our eyes open and scope out and do the work at the very beginning. Because a lot of what happened with Southwest Light Rail started 5 years ago or even longer. And once it started going, it's like, wow, you know what? You can't stop that train. So I think as we had started advancing new projects, that's the time, and I think we have opportunities to get that sorted out much better. But I am also not to say that I have all the answers, so I'm interested in helping facilitate a conversation to do something a lot better. I take it to heart.
Thank you. I should say for the record that a quorum is present, has been present all along, and also that in accordance with the rules of the Senate, the following members will be participating remotely in today's hearing. Senator McEwen from Duluth. Now, Senator Port has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and nice to see you, Mr. Zelli. I am just wondering if you would talk a little bit about the relationship with the suburban transit authorities and how both rebuilding that trust, but how also you are planning to sort of work in partnership with them.
Mr. Chair, Senator, thank you for coming to the meeting virtually, and it's good to see you. I know the relationship with the suburban transits has been frayed in the past. I certainly have been visiting and will continue to visit with their boards and their leadership. I know that our new executive director of our Metropolitan Transit Services that has the regular day-to-day contact, I have been told that that relationship has improved on an operational basis. I think sometimes the concern comes down to funding, and we know that both in our disbursements of federal recovery funds and now with our capital funds, because we purchase much of their rolling stock and equipment, our issues that they would always kind of go back and forth as to what's fair. But I will stand by, and I believe we have allocated both federal funds and go through the procurement policies as in a fair and impartial basis. And if there's any specific issues, I've invited suburban transit leadership to contact me directly, because I think our intention is to not just follow the statute, but to be fair and good partners, because we are all in the transportation business of serving our communities. And I know as a lifelong bus guy, I have known some of those leaders for a long time, way before I've been in state government. So I understand the challenges they have and also some of the opportunities we all have together.
Thank you.
All right, members, any further questions for Chair Zelli? So I think we're at the moment here. Senator Morrison, would you like to make a motion? Senator Port, would you like to make a motion?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I move that we move forward with confirming Chair Zelli and sending it to the Senate for full confirmation.
Hang on one sec. I'm going to check in real quick with someone. All right, I was just checking to see if other members wanted to get into the room to vote. So I understand some who have departed will do so remotely.
Okay.
Unless I have a request for a roll call, we'll just do this by voice vote, if that is all right. All right, I don't hear any differently. So, Senator Port moves the confirmation of Chair Charlie Zelli in the affirmative to be recommended to the Senate floor.
How's that?
All right. Council says that's, I made a hash of the motion, but you get the idea. We'll get the formal language as it's supposed to be into the minutes. All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
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 Opposed, say no.
Aye.
No. No.
All right. From what I can tell, it is in the judgment of the chairs that the motion prevails, and the recommendation to confirm Charlie Zelli would be reported to the Senate floor. All right, anything further, members? All right.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Senator McKeown.
I just wanted to make sure that for the record, I am not remote from Duluth. I am remote from St. Paul this morning.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. We will make the correction in the minutes, or we'll just say the correct thing in the minutes.
Probably doesn't matter. Just wanted to make sure it was clear. Thanks.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate that. All right. With that, we are adjourned. Thank you, everyone.